Hi, I'm Lila Ainge, psychologist and researcher. Welcome back to Psychologically Speaking, a podcast all about human behaviour, bringing together fascinating research, insights and real-life experiences. This season, we're exploring goals with guests, and we'll be following them into the new year to see how their beliefs, behaviours and actions shape those intentions. Very excited to introduce our next guest, Danny Johnston. Danny is a data and an AI consultant, but she also owns a documentary production company. I can't wait to hear all about Danny's goal for 2026. Danny, welcome to Psychologically Speaking.
Hi.
It's so good to have you here. Danny, tell me a little bit about the work that you do and in terms of where your goals are going to be set, what's most important for our listeners to understand about your work life and where your goals are sitting?
Okay, so I do have a master's in documentary, and I am doing a PhD in human rights and data privacy. And they sound like they're completely polar opposite things. But basically, in life, documentaries aren't really going to pay the bills for you. So I have 2.5 decades of working in business transformation, delivering multi-million pound international programs of work, and I kind of moved into the data and AI space. The PhD joins those two things together. I started my production company 8 years ago, and it's just been slowly building, but the consultancy allows me to feed money into the film production. The PhD is, the intention is to produce a film as well as the write up for the PhD, to try and educate lay people on how the advent of data harvesting and AI development is impacting their human rights. So, it sounds like I do completely different things, which I kind of do, but I'm trying to bring them together. So my goals for 2026 are to move myself a little bit more, just edge a little bit more to the end state, which is to be hopefully one day a full-time documentary filmmaker.
Annie, I just think the work that you do is amazingly interesting. I mean, to look at human rights, I think this is such a hot topic for lots of our listeners at the moment, especially for people who freelance like we do or contract. You know, there's a lot of concern that AI is eroding jobs and capabilities in the marketplace, and that's a scary place to be for some people. And then the fact that you're doing a PhD, which is delving into the human rights of it, what was it that drew you to researching that as a PhD?
I think that my exposure as a consultant, you know, I've worked with teams in IT, in the IT space, teams in the business space, cybersecurity, and you know, you hear these stories, you hear the developments, and it was just becoming more evident that we weren't thinking about it in terms of how we're developing society. We're, you know, and it's human nature. We're constantly striving, aren't we, to build the next shiny thing and to do the next interesting thing. And developers, academics, policymakers, they're constantly trying to challenge and strive for bigger and bolder and better. But actually, you know, if you think about the concept of constructionism in sociology, and I will absolutely destroy this, by the way, I'm not a sociologist, but it's the idea that, you know, the environment that you're in helps construct society as we develop. You know, we're creating technology without considering, okay, that's great. For 12 months, you'll get this benefit in kind of, you know, financial and benefit return on investment, it's return for shareholders. But actually, how does that turn into a construct for how we live as human beings? And what impact is that having on, you know, the next generation? It can be frightening the way AI data is being manipulated for ends that don't serve society, to manipulate us to gain money, basically. So it just fascinated me, and the idea that I could then also have a conversation about, well, how do we engage the general population in this conversation? Because I do it myself. You get to the cookies section and you go, for the love of, seriously, and you just click past or whatever.
Yeah.
And even if you say no to a lot of these things, no, don't share my data, there's no real trust there, is there? You know, you're like, well, will this tech giant actually honor that? Or will it be honored to a point where they think they can't get caught? Like, I mean, and that's not being unfair. That's just, again, human nature. There is always going to be the negative side to the positive. So through documentary, I wanted to explore, can we take quite a complex and what is quite dry and boring to most people? I get excited about data. I do not expect other people to. But how can we put that in an engaging and interesting way to get other people into the conversation? Because, you know, as I said, the developer community, the investors, the tech builders are a very small community. And then policymakers tend to be reactive to what's already been done. We've got the other 99%. Like, what do they want to say about how the world is developing and how that's going to impact their family and their future and their legacy, basically?
So. That's such an interesting point that you make there. Technology was always seen as an enabler for the context we're already in. The cyber psychology world, and certainly your world, and that sociological lens is saying, no, technology creates or is constructing the next context. And I don't think I've ever really sat and thought about it that way. What excites me about people like you is that you're very clearly passionate about data, and so am I. I mean, I wouldn't be a scientist otherwise, but you bring this creative lens and space to the work that you're doing. And I'm really fascinated then around, why did you get into documentary making? Where does that come from?
I first went to university to do animation. I went on to actually do a degree in archaeology and classics because I felt like the animation wasn't scratching enough of an academic itch for me. And I just, I grew up, my mum always had so many like books around history and ancient history, and she was always an avid reader of you know, mythology and things like that. So I thought, well, that might be interesting. And I also came from a very Catholic family, and that wasn't where my where I was leaning. In terms of how I was viewing the world. And I kind of wanted to understand where they were coming from a little bit. So I actually did biblical archaeology because, you know, that's not random. And so I got to 40 and I thought, you know, I've been doing IT for the last 20 years. And whilst I love doing it, well, not necessarily IT, it was program management and business transformation, but usually in an IT space. And I thought, you know, I love it, but is this what I want to do for another 25 years if I'm lucky to be able to retire then? So I did the documentary masters because when I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. I didn't discover that till 45, but it explains my absolute love for lists, apparently. So I wrote myself a list of all the things that I really enjoyed and all the things that kind of bored me and didn't shine a light for me. And what I realised was the reason why the animation and the archaeology and classics, it was the storytelling. I'd always written poetry, I'd always written short stories. So the documentary kind of fitted because it gave me the academic lens to be able to hyper-focus and research a topic, but also then tell a story and do something creative with it. So I absolutely loved that. And I think that is kind of where I want to get to, where I'm doing that full time. But again, you know, you have to pay the bills. And I'm very, very fortunate that I know I'm able to find work. So I don't take that lightly.
I think what I'm intrigued in then is where your big goal for 2026 is sitting. What's the output of this goal for you in 2026 around the documentary make?
So I have two. So one of them is very much leaning on the PhD and the academic side, and the other one is about the documentary making. my limitation is that I have an abject fear of judgment, hence why I like to be behind the camera, not in front of it. And so if I give you an example, just before COVID, I was in New York for 3 weeks filming for a series of short films. They still sit on my hard drive. I never released them. And so I have to learn how to get out of my own head. So the kind of big goal for me is about not just producing the work, but actually releasing the work. So by the end of the year, I have to put myself out there for the exposure, because everything I've done that has had exposure up until now has been for someone else. It's been for charitable groups and things like that. Whereas this one has to be for me, and it has to be about me creating something that I am prepared to let the world see as well. So, yeah.
And it's interesting that you use that kind of phrase, something I'm prepared to let the world see. A sense there that it's you that is holding yourself back for that fear of external judgment. And that's something that we've spoken to offline. Yeah. So how are you thinking that you want to build the goal up, and what will the goal result in? How will you know you've achieved this?
So I'll know I've achieved it when I have submitted it to the festival circuit. There are a multitude of festivals that take documentary content, and I need to have those submissions in by the end of the year. The creation of the piece is less difficult for me. Not to say it isn't a massive amount of work. What is my measure of success? My measure of success is that it's released for assessment and potentially acceptance to the festival circuit.
2026. When we talk about the what, is that stuff, the New York stuff you've created already, or brand new?
I'm going to go brand new. I am going to the Arctic Circle in the end of June, so I am going to film the entire thing. So there will be 12 people on a boat, and not people I know. I know two of them, but yes. So it's a I want to give it a fancy name. It's an expedition. It's an adventure. And yes, so we're going to go to the Arctic Circle, and we're going to sail around. And the other big challenge for me is I'm going to be in front of the camera instead of behind it for a change.
Why the Arctic Circle? Why couldn't you just go up the road?
Oh, God, why not the Arctic Circle? It's been on my bucket list for years. I love to travel. I love to travel. And I love boats. I love the idea of doing something that is not—I'm not great at sitting on a beach and, you know, having a holiday that is about relaxing. It's never worked for me. So whenever I travel, I tend to go to slightly more off the main street kind of places. And the Arctic Circle just feels like just the next level on that. It's how many people are saying that they've been to the Arctic Circle? So why not?
Not many. And you have my vote in terms of doing big and bold things. So you're going to the Arctic Circle. You're going to put yourself in front of the camera. You're going to produce a documentary. Is that documentary then linked to human rights and use of AI?
No. So I have taken your advice, Leela. So I am trying to rethink about how I frame things and the internal voice that keeps holding me back. So I'm thinking whilst we are talking about the end goal, what is the measure of success? I'm going to try and reframe this as just absolutely the love of the journey, right? And every step is just about experiencing that particular moment, and the film will make itself, and then I need to worry about submitting it. So, you know, I mean, I've forgotten the question because I just got lost then in the whole idea of the trip.
I was asking, what ultimately is this going to be about human rights? And you're saying, no, I'm making this easier. It's already going to be a project, isn't it? Going on this expedition, this adventure, putting yourself in that exposure place of being in front of the camera and then committing to submitting this to the festival circuit. That's the goal. So it doesn't really matter about the content, and actually taking that pressure off yourself is a really compassionate thing to do when you're already pushing yourself out of that comfort zone and sailing across the sea to do it. It sounds amazing. It's such an exciting and different thing. To tell me, what do you envisage is going to be the easiest thing about this goal?
The easiest thing? Gosh. I guess the run-up to the trip is probably the easiest thing, because I do well in terms of I just focus on, you know, I've got to get this thing done, you know, the planning of it and the execution. I think the filming of it will be more difficult for me because I'll be uncomfortable. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Editing isn't easy, but I enjoy it. So that's fine. I guess it's the run up to it is the easier part for me personally.
So that helps then, doesn't it, to think in terms of where you may want to scaffold some support around your project. So if we're saying that the run-up to it and getting there is you're going to be running on positive energy, then it's thinking about what scaffolding you've got in place for when you are there. And you mentioned that there's two people on the boat that you already know. So who have you managed to put around you as that support system?
So I have roped two friends in. One of them, she travels with me all the time. So we're very comfortable in each other's company. Yeah. We are used to each other's idiosyncrasies. The other friend has never traveled with either of us. But he is coming purely from the perspective of holding the camera. So, and the beauty of his company is that he is an extremely enthusiastic, open person who would be like, oh, you need to suck it up and get out of your own head. Like, get on with it. So he's going to be great company on the trip. The 6 months running up to it, we're doing training. So to get him really comfortable with the camera equipment and everything else. And I guess that there'll still also be some kind of fitness training, because there's a level of fitness that we have to be able to meet.
So this expedition then, so in my head, you're going on a boat to the Arctic Circle, but what you're really describing is it's going to be quite a physical, intense time. So potentially change in lighting, sleep habits, eating habits, physical exertion.
Yeah. But you see, I think that's the joy of it, right? Because the idea that I'd had was, I was going to go on this trip anyway.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm 50 in February. That's why we're going on the trip. We as women, you know, a lot, I'm sure men experience this too, but as a general rule, I see this, right? As women, as we age, we get somewhat discredited. So it's you've kind of lost your societal value in that you're now not going to produce children, or you're not as pretty, and I'm sure, like, please, like, hashtag not all men. I completely get that, right? But there is an element of that goes on. So what I wanted to do, I kind of was thinking about it, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice to actually film all of this and create something quite beautiful because of the backdrop, you know, the scenery and everything else, but to capture that, number one, the chaos, because I can be chaotic at the best of times, but this embracing that life isn't over, you know, so what, 50? And I've got my friends, and I've got my beautiful kids as well. But I've got my friendship group. I've got these adventures that I can still go on. And if that inspires even one other person to go in on an adventure, like, how fab would that be? So I thought, right, okay, I'm going to film it, and I'm going to look at it as, rather than a film to preach an idea, you know, a lot of the films, because they're human rights based, you're not preaching, but you're trying to teach constantly.
Yeah,
whereas this isn't, I'm not trying to teach anyone anything. I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I'm just trying to show people how joyous life can be and what adventures we can still go on and do something that's a piece of art, hopefully.
It sounds amazing. I love the idea and the thinking that's gone into this. I'm interested because I know that we've spoken a little bit this year about exposure. Do you think this is something that you would have attempted at the beginning of this year in 2025?
Absolutely not.
What has shifted for you? Because if anyone was to say to me, think about the most exposing thing that you could do, this would be it. I think you really have gone for that extreme goal, which is going to push you right out of your comfort zone and potentially, you know, out of other people's comfort zones as well, your lucky friends. But what shifted?
I think that, you know, I've actively tried to source therapy, coaching, you know, those kind of things. Obviously we've worked together and you've helped massively, and I do appreciate that. I think that there's also an element of, I'm 50 next year, and I have friends who didn't get out of their 20s, so, you know, how fortunate I am to have a beautiful life. You know, a lovely home that, you know, beautiful children, a crazy dog, you know, a career, and these opportunities to do creative things, and then for me to hold myself back, like, that, it's just insane. So at the start of this year, my intention was, I know the only person holding me back right now is me, so I have to get out of my own head. So there is that conscious work, and it's something that you have to do every single day. You don't just go, oh, that's the fix, and now I you know, all done, and off I go and live my best life. Every day you've got to go, right, okay, well, yesterday I wasn't great at that. Okay, well, we'll just, it's a fresh day, start again, try again, and just keep doing that and keep doing that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a journey that I know that I'm constantly going to be battling against myself to an extent, but I have to. And how selfish would it be to waste what I've been so fortunate to have been given? If nothing else in my life, the fact that I'm still here after 50 years, like, so many people don't get that. Like, so why waste it? Why waste
That's
it?
That's a really interesting way of framing it. I think you're going to really get on with another guest of mine, Emma Thomas. She hosts a podcast all about this messy middle of life. And she set her goal with me this morning on the podcast. So we know what's going to be easy. Let's talk about then what is going to be challenging. And I know nothing about documentary making, but say when I'm looking to do a podcast, for example, I have to have a bit of a rough idea about what I'm going to do, like a storyboard. Is that something that you then have to do before you get to the Arctic Circle? How does that work if you don't know what you're going to expect when you get there?
Yeah. Definitely out of my comfort zone on this, in the sense of I don't think there's very much I can prepare for, other than, you know, we can prepare for the kinds of equipment we're going to use and the kind of environment that we think we're going to be exposed to, and therefore, you know, how do we adapt, how, say, we record sound. So there's a lot of prep in that. I think that there's an element of we're going to Svalbard 2 days before the boat leaves, and we're staying for 2 days after so that we can do a lot of panoramic shooting, a lot of kind of B-roll stuff. We can prep that. But once we're on the boat, I pretty much know day one, they're going to teach us to sail if we want to learn to sail. Day two, they're going to teach us to sea fish. Maybe we can catch dinner. And then they have a rough itinerary of where they want to get to. But it is so dependent on weather, you know, the environment around us and and the world, nature is unpredictable. So you have to kind of respond on the fly a little bit. So we'll be as prepared as we can be. And I'll probably have more equipment than I need, than is necessary. It's definitely out of my comfort zone. It's not something I've filmed before. So,
but listening to you speak there, it sounds like you've thought about some of these things. When we talk about goal achievement and setting and motivation, we talk about these three ideas of autonomy, competence and relatedness. So you've got the autonomy to be able to go and do this and to follow that expedition, that adventure. You know, that's something that you're tying into your 50th year. You've got the competence so that you're training somebody else up in being able to support you, so you're not just doing all of this on your own. And the relatedness is you're taking some familiarity with you, so you've got a traveling companion who you're very comfortable with, and that feels really sensible and very savvy, given that you're going to be in an uncomfortable space yourself for moments of this trip. So I love the way that you've thought this goal through. So is your goal starting right now, or are you waiting for the 1st of January?
So it is starting now. I got in touch with a friend of mine who she runs the equipment stores at the university. So I've asked her if she could organize some refresher training for me, because like I say, you know, that kind of run and gun sound is not something that I'm particularly strong in. So she's very kindly arranging training and just so I can sit down, and as well the equipment changes. So my intention is to buy a new Blackmagic 6K camera for this. And whilst I've used it, not in anger, I've used other cameras. So just really trying to be very confident in myself in terms of the equipment, so that when I'm working with my friends and I'm making sure he's confident as well, that I'm not giving him a bum steer on that one. Teaching him bad habits.
Sounds like a lot of this is just you're trying to, I suppose, prep for everything that you can control right now. It's such a useful strategy. So I'll check in with you in the first week in January. I'll ask you for an update offline, and then what you share back, I'll do an episode where I do a roundup of a couple of guests. But we're also going to bring you on to a recording, and we're going to talk about how far you've got so far, what you're excited about. Yours will come just before you set off on your big expedition, so it'd be really interesting to hear how you're getting on. And then we'll probably catch up with you further into 2026, hopefully after you've been on the expedition and you can tell us what the documentary has unfolded at. I'm really intrigued about the storytelling and where that story goes for you.
Yeah. So am I. Who knows? Like I say, I'm nothing if not a little bit chaotic. So I'm like, oh, squirrel.
You've already identified one action, which is you're off to the university to get a refresher on some of the training equipment. Are there any, so I like to think in threes, two more actions from you that I can ask you about in that first week in January.
Okay, so I've also roped another friend in. He has just, he's left IT, funnily enough, and he is, now he owns like a fishing equipment store, and he teaches people to fish, and he's worked with charities teaching underprivileged kids how to fish, you know, so they have another outlet and something like a hobby. He's an absolutely wonderful human being, and so I said to him, he got his new shop about 8 weeks ago. I said, I've had a genius idea. I said, why don't you teach a group of 40 plus women, 40 women, just 40 plus women, to fish. And we'll go fishing and we'll drink Prosecco. And you can use it as promo material. I can, because it's out in the cold and then around water and things like that. And at first he was like, God, this is going to be chaotic, isn't it? And I said, yes, it absolutely is. And I said, please ask your wife if she wants to come with us. And at first she said, no, it'll be cold and wet. And then she went, oh, there's Prosecco. Okay, yes, I'll come too. So there's going to be a group of us, but it's another opportunity to just, again, it's, you know, we're around water, it's in the cold, there'll be some night shooting, it'll be a bit chaotic, I'm quite sure, with my friends. So it's just like, you know, keeping that movement and just a bit of a practice for my other friend to be able to use the equipment. So that's going to be around April. So we're going to do
Danny,
that one.
The only question I've got here is, how do I sign up for this? It sounds amazing.
Oh, do you want to come? Leela, it'll be so good. Imagine. Oh, I feel sorry for my friend, right? Because he's just the most kind, laid-back human being. And then I'm just going to descend on him with like a group of half-drunk women that I don't want to, yeah, I've already said to him, I don't want to touch base if it moves. That's not happening.
I don't have to get into that kind of stuff. Really weirdly, when I was younger, where we grew up, there was a pond near us and it's called the fish ponds, obviously, like normal name. There was a bottom pond and a top pond. And when you got to about the age of, I don't know, 14 or 15, it was the place to go in the summer holidays because there was no mobile phones. And it was the place where the guys hung out. So probably for about 2 or 3 years, summer, I spent most of my spare time in summer holidays around fish ponds and around people who did fishing.
But can you fish?
No, absolutely not. Definitely there for distraction, and I probably was more of a hindrance than anything else. But the idea of trying a new skill is always a good
idea. I am under no illusion I will be a hindrance on these filming events.
Okay, so you're going to refresh on your equipment. You're going to get some real life practice around cold, wet stuff. And when's your trip to the Arctic?
End of June.
End of June. So you've got that in. And what about a third action then? What third action can you be working towards?
Oh, gosh. Third action. Oh, well, the third action is going to be the training, I guess. So I do go to the gym. I do train anyway, but I'm more of a weight kind of person, so I need to build up that cardio strength, and just because, you know, there'll be trekking and stuff like that. So whilst I do hike, I wouldn't say that I am uber healthy. So so I am trying to put together a bit of a training plan. I do have a PT at the moment, if she hasn't lost the will with me. just putting together a bit of a training plan just to make sure that cardio level and strength is there. So that, because the last thing you want to do is get an injury or something and you're off at sea and there's a first aid box and nothing else.
So I'm going to reflect on the fact that you've got three very prep-like actions. I'm going to suggest an action for you, which is really just tipping your appetite for exposure a little bit. So your goal is an approach goal. It's an approach in June with a release after that to a certain community. But by recording this podcast, we're doing it in video today. I will be sharing this video and I'll be putting you in front of the camera. So just confirming that this is part of it and that will happen.
Yeah.
And my action for you is to embrace it, is to engage with it and try not to run away from it.
I can do that as long as I don't have to watch it back.
I think watching it back will be really helpful. So Darren, who was on the series earlier on, he said to me, he said it was a bit cringy listening back to it, but after a few listens you kind of get over that. It's a bit like exposure therapy. You've got to keep watching yourself back and listening, and it does help.
Yeah, okay. I'm told.
I think you have to be uncomfortable. You can't plan for everything. You can't mitigate everything. Yeah. It's going to get uncomfortable, this goal journey. You've set yourself a big challenge. I'm interested when we catch up again is to explore what coping strategies you're going to put in place for when it feels too uncomfortable. Oh, this has been fabulous. It's been an absolute delight to have you on the Psychologically Speaking podcast. I wish you all the best with your goal for next year. And we are here to support and challenge you as you go through that journey. And I look forward to catching up in January to find out how things are going with that prep and also with the exposure.
Yeah, no probs. Thank you, Lula. Really appreciate it.
I hope you are beginning to see what I'm seeing. Everybody approaches goals differently. Sometimes we pitch our goals a little lower than the dream we actually want. We keep our momentum modest because we think we need strong foundations before we're allowed to scale. And we worry about failing, especially when what we're doing can be very visible publicly. So in January, I'm opening up something new to help you move beyond that. And it's called my 2026 Goal Sprint. It's going to be a live 60-minute session where we're going to use my prompts to craft the best goal for your 2026. You'll get weekly live check-ins to keep your momentum going, and especially past that second week in February where most resolutions quietly melt away. You'll get access to a Slack group and I will be in there every week to give you the strongest psychological start to your year. You can join us for just £79 and the link is in the show notes, or you can go straight to www.leelaange.co.uk/goalsprint. I'd love to see you there. That's all for today. Thank you for listening to Psychologically Speaking with me, Leela Ainge.